everyone, welcome to Total Rally, a special one as ever. It's not very often we do these, but I know I said I wouldn't do that many of them, but this is a pre-record programme. Unfortunately, I can't be in the studio this week. I'm doing my bit for charity. There you go. So I'm away doing a charity gig, but rallying still goes on. We still got to find stuff to do. Just referring back to last week's live programme, if you listen to the podcast, you probably got no idea what went on last week due to the wonderful editing skills of my friend Alistair. Look him up, by the way, he's on our Twitter feed, Audio Ninja, he's brilliant, and he managed to save all my blushes on the podcast. But if you listened to the live programme last week, you will have heard the nightmare I had, and Jimbo, bring back Jimbo, All Is Forgiven, was our live guest, who was going to be the co-host, and the irony behind having Jimbo, who of course was the former engineer of the programme, and everything went wrong, but there you go. But there's been a nice Twitter kind of following, there's been quite a bit. There's a hashtag, bring back Jimbo, there's a petition, I believe there's 5 people that have signed the petition to bring back Jimbo, which I think is brilliant, by the way. I'd love to have Jimbo back, not just for his editing and audio skills, but for every other reason, because he's my mate as well. But anyway, listen, a bit of a special programme as ever. Our friends from across the pond, Bill Wood, has got a couple of guests that he's done some bits and pieces with. Chris Duplessis, who was a guy who heavily featured in that film that I was fascinated by, Easier Said Than Done, which won the awards. And if you've not checked that out yet, by the way, I know we had the guys on who made that particular film. It's kind of like a documentary film, but it was brilliant. If we could check it out anyway, you can get it as a download, and you can also buy it as a DVD. But it's a fascinating thing. Anyway, Chris Duplessis was quite heavily kind of featured in that program, or that film rather. And as I say, check that out. And Bill's going to be talking to him about what he's been doing, because he's been off the, he basically hasn't been in a rally car for a couple of years now. And last time he was seen, he was doing the Junior World Rally Championship, which was featured in that film, funnily enough. And it takes you through the trials and tribulations of trying to find budget to do Junior World Championship, and he's very, very honest and very, very candid. But he's a former American champion, 2007, 2008 and 2010 front wheel drive champion, and he's going to be coming back. Bill's going to be talking to him, and after that we're also going to have American Rookie of the Year, which is Nick Roberts. I must admit, don't know too much about Nick. I've listened to the interview, he sounds like a keen guy, he seems like he's up for it, and Bill's going to be talking to him as well. So sit back, relax. I realise it's not as interactive as normal, but by all means, still get involved on Twitter. You want to tweet me, at TonySimpson74, you can get hold of me. Obviously, the programme is at Total Rally. You can always tweet us on there as well. But sit back, relax, listening to the lovely tones of Bill Wood talking to some of the American rally stars.
Let's go to St. Paul, Minnesota to talk to Nick Roberts, the 2013 American Rally Rookie of the Year. 3 podiums. Took the season by storm in 2013, finished second in points in 2014 in the super production category. That's kind of a production-based class. It's a little slower than the open class cars here in the United States. Finished second by 1 point. That must have been very frustrating. So he's getting a head start this year, winning at Snowdrift this past weekend. Nick, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Bill. Man, I tell you what, I'm looking forward to this season. And like you said, they've had a really great start to this year. And I'm looking forward to what we can maybe try to get done this year.
How do you put a 1-point loss behind you? That must be, how do you get that taste out of your mouth?
I'm just out there having a good time. I enjoy it. I enjoy being in the car. I mean, driving's my passion. That's what I love to do. And, you know, winning the championship, although I'd love to do it to put it on a resume, it's kind of secondary. It's losing by 1 point. It was kind of a bummer. But, you know, it's like you put it behind you, like you said, and you move on. And you know, this year is going to be a good year. I've still got some good competition in the super production class this year. And I'm just looking forward to a fun fight this year.
How long did it take you to get that 1-point loss behind you? That in the World Rally Championship, Mikko Hirvonen, maybe 2009, finished second by 1 point to Sebastian Loeb. Took him a while to overcome that. How long did it take you to get that behind you?
I'd probably say a good couple of weeks. A good couple of weeks. You know, at the end of the day, it was my fault. It's like, you know, all I had to do was I got two DNFs last year, and if I went to DNF one of those events, I would have gotten that finish point, and that would have been it. But, you know, that's kind of how rally goes, and at the end of the day, I can only look at myself for that. I can't blame anybody else, so It's just kind of look at yourself and figure out how we're going to, where are we going to go from here.
Then Nick Roberts, in just 2-3 years, you've put together a really good program. And we've had this conversation before where you have talked about you just love to drive on dirt roads in the woods, and you and your buddies used to do it, and just for the fun of it. How do you get beyond into building what looks like a professional team right now?
No, it's like I said. I mean, you know, I grew up just driving four-wheelers, ATVs, go-karts, snowmobiles, all that sort of stuff when I was a kid. And just, we had a family farm just, you know, hauling through the woods, going flat out. And you saw it on TV one day, saw the WRC. And I thought, no, these guys are just rally racing. This is exactly what I'm doing. You know, and so that's what I wanted to do. Now in the past couple of years, after my dad got sick, I realized, you know, life's short. You can spend all your life, working. And I thought, you know, before that, work was my passion. And it's like, I've always wanted to do this. I've always wanted to put together a rally team. So let's just go for it. And, you know, put together a car, got out there in 2013 and just started having some fun and basically pursuing my passion, doing what I love.
Nick Roberts, we're going to talk a little bit about your dad and the family business, commercial property development, real estate development. But tell me some more about this team building in your rally team, Nick Roberts Global Rally Team.
Yeah, no, I think as anybody can tell you, in the sport of rally, it really is a team sport. You've got your co-driver. I've got Rhiannon Gelsomino. From Australia. She's just an absolutely incredible co-driver. She brings so much experience to the car. It kind of makes up for my lack of experience. You know, me only having 2 full seasons under my belt, you know, putting her in the car where she's, I think they're getting pretty close to her 100th rally. She's able to speak so much into the car. She brings so much advice. We're working on notes together and recce. I've learned a lot from her. So it's been a great addition to the team last season. And I'm excited and glad that we're working together this year. I've got JB Knighty with me. He's kind of doing the general manager role. And I've got Mike Ray is my number one mechanic. And I've got some good mechanics working with me and the team. But at the end of the day, it's like I said, it's all of us working together to make this happen. And you know, the fun thing is everybody on the team, it's their dream and their passion to be on a rally team in that role. And so we all kind of have this same common goal of, you know, let's just go out there, be the best that we can be, you know, be the most professional and just go out there and put on a good show.
Nick Roberts, how would you explain super production to someone who may not know the American class structure where there's open class and two-wheel drive? Where does super production fit into all that?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I've heard some people refer to it as like Group N Plus. It really is a production-based Subaru. You know, an open class car, you're allowed to modify the entire car as much as you want. It's a very expensive car. You probably end up to be spending $400,000 or $500,000 on a car. In super production, it's pretty close to stock class. There's only certain things you're allowed to modify. So we run stock engine, stock transmission, stock turbo with a 34-millimeter restrictor. And then all the suspension arms are stock. And so we can really allow to modify, you know, put a cage in it for safety. And then, aftermarket gravel struts and gravel brakes set up. And it's that's about it. I mean, it's pretty minimal what we're allowed to change.
I've heard it said, though, for that reason, I've heard it said that it can be very expensive to run a super production car because you drive it nearly as hard as you do an open wheel car, and you don't have the open wheel parts to or the open class parts to withstand all of that damage you're doing to it.
You know, I've heard that, super production, the class was created to help keep costs down for guys that wanted to get into the sport. And I don't personally, I do think that even though some of the items do wear out a little bit more, it is a less expensive class to try to maintain the car. I mean, you know, if I go through a control arm, I'm just swapping out a bushing, or I'm calling up the fitter dealer and getting a new part sent out, and versus having to have all the stuff custom manufactured like you would if you had an open class car. So, you know, I think there's some give and take. You know, certainly with an open class car, you can build stuff a little bit stronger here or there. I try to get a little more life out of it, but you know, we've had pretty good luck with the car. I mean, the Subaru is a great platform for a production-based car. It's built really strong. You know, we do very little to reinforce certain areas of the car, or certain suspension arms to increase their lifespan. It's just, they make a great platform.
We're talking with Nick Roberts, Nick Roberts Global Rally Team, with co-driver Rihanna Gelsomino. This past weekend won the Super Production category at Snowdrift, finished second overall in the Snowdrift Rally, America's Winter Rally, and beat the 2012 champion Lachlan O'Sullivan, expanding the lead as the weekend went along over O'Sullivan. How does your success, what are your measuring sticks? How do you measure how you're growing through this process?
This year's going to be a little bit unique. Last year, I had a really good championship battle going on with Dylan Badaway. And so throughout the season, we were, you know, swapping times and, you know, progressively pushing each other to be faster as the year went on. And so it was a fun way just to increase my speed, increase his speed, and together we just kind of kept pushing the bar up, which was fun. This year, it's going to be a little bit unique experience as Dylan's focusing on other things. And here I've got Lachlan, who's been a very, very experienced driver, very quick. He's got a great car. And, you know, it's going to be kind of him and I this year pushing to see who's going to win the championship.
Now you
and I think, you know, With the other ideas, we're bringing a new car to the table. We're going to debut at 100 Acre Woods, making some improvements. You know, even though it is a super production car and there's not a lot you can change, we've found some ways to take a little bit of weight out of the car and to lower the center of gravity. So, you know, we're hoping to maybe start competing with some of the top open cars.
Well, you already beat all but the factory car, the Vermont sports car, with David Higgins and Craig Drew. Do you think you could challenge them ultimately in what you're doing?
I don't think I could challenge them. I mean, they've got a long ways ahead of me to go. I mean, it's driver's skill. We're pushing hard, and you know, it's been a lot of fun. We're working hard. But, you know, Adam Yellen, he's got a great program. He's got a great car. He's got a lot of skill. I'm hoping that maybe by the end of the season we'll be getting closer to his times. You know, his car is an open-class car, so he's got a lot more power. It's also a little bit lighter. But I'm hoping that we can maybe start getting up there with him anyway.
Nick Roberts, last fall you sampled Rallycross in Las Vegas, the final round of the Global Rallycross Championship. Were you able to take anything from rallying, stage rally, into Rallycross? And are you able to bring any of that Rallycross experience back to stage rally?
Oh, that's a good question, Bill. No, I think, I don't know that it's a totally different form of racing. I mean, I enjoyed being in the car. It was an incredible experience. It was fun to be out there on track with traffic, and it's definitely an aggressive form of motorsports. You're just pushing your way through, and it's, I enjoyed it. It was fun. There's definitely a little bit of a learning curve. I mean, as each heat went on, I could definitely see that my competitiveness increased, and just, you know, how important that seat time is and how valuable that is in seeing your progression. I definitely learned that. But as far as, you know, what I've learned in rally, I mean, there's definitely some things that I've been able to take from rally to bring to the GRC table, and also some things, though, that sort of habits I have in the car as far as driving in gravel. It's a lot different when you're driving in tarmac. You know, in gravel, on stage, you're competing and you see 1,000 corners at one time. So the importance of nailing absolutely every single corner perfectly just isn't there. It's kind of like you're heading down a straight and you know you've got a left three coming up and it's like, okay, what's happening here? Versus in GRC where, you know, you're hitting the same corner a bunch of times and it's all about perfecting that corner. It's all about picking that same braking point every single time and transitioning the weight at the same spot every time and, you know, trying just moving that braking point back 5 feet to see what that does for that lap. And it's just so much more precise. So I enjoyed that, but I think that's kind of helped me come back to rally and learn, you know, trying to make sure that each corner is as perfect as I could make it be.
Nick Roberts, you were the American Rally Rookie of the Year in 2013. You missed the Super Production Championship by 1 point in 2014. You won the first event out of the gate in 2015. Is Super Production your destination category, or would you perhaps be thinking of sampling an open class competition in the near future?
I really enjoy the Super Production class. You know, it's a fun class. It's a competitive class where the costs to run the car it's not too bad. It's manageable. But yeah, so it really just comes down to driver's skill, because all the cars are very similar. And, you know, I'm a young driver. I've only got 2 years under my belt, and I've got a lot to learn. And, you know, I feel personally that if I can spend more time in my car, the Super Production class, and continuing to learn how to push the limits with this car, how to make this heavier, slower car go faster and faster, the only way you're going to be able to do that is with, you know, driver skill. And I'm still learning. I'm still continuing to kind of try to grow that skill set that I have, and I've got a long way to go. And, you know, if I were to jump right into an open class car, I'm afraid that I would just kind of cover up some of the bad habits that I have.
So we've talked about Nick Roberts Global Rally Team, winner in the Super Production at Snowdrift this past weekend. We've talked about team building. You've done quite a bit of team building in your social media world. 9,100 likes on Facebook is an impressive beginning. There's a lot of people who are in this sport who don't have that kind of following.
No, you're right about that. And I think I've been really lucky. I've been blessed with a great fan base. There's a lot of people that have jumped behind me. I mean, I think the lever in the car is incredible. I think a lot of people have responded well to that. And no, I think a lot of people just understand that I'm out there chasing a dream, you know, out there following my passion and having a good time. And, you know, we spend a lot of time, you know, trying to figure out what interesting content is and what people want to see. And you're right, we've had a lot of luck with on Facebook and Instagram as far as followers and people that are just want to know what we're doing. And, you know, we've had luck with that, and that's helped us out as far as, you know, trying to attract sponsors, because at the end of the day, people are interested in us. People are interested in seeing what we have to do, what we've got to say, what we're, you know, what I've got going on the shop this week. I'm making a video about how to build a Super Production car. People want to see that kind of stuff. And I, you know, there's no secrets there. I have no issue with opening up my shop, and, I've kind of got this video process going on right now where every couple of weeks I'm releasing a video just kind of covering this week's part of the build as we're building our new car, and it's been a lot of fun, and I've gotten a lot of compliments on it. But as it relates to the social media side, it's just been great. I've enjoyed that opportunity to have it as an outlet to reach out to people and be an example, and just it's been exciting.
You've had a lot of success with Sony in particular as a team sponsor and supporter and partner. How much did they like the 9,100 likes on Facebook?
They definitely like that. I mean, I think Sony's a great example of a sponsor that reached out to us because they saw not only the amount of people that we have, but actually, you know, we're very fortunate that we have a very high number of engaged fans. So it's, you know, anybody can go out on Facebook and you can get large numbers of fans. But you start looking at the percentage of how many of those fans are actually engaged users, how many are liking your content, commenting, sharing it with their friends. And because we have such that percentage for us is quite high, and the amount of the actual fans that are really engaged with what we're doing, it shows that we've got a dedicated fan base, and Sony was very interested in that, and so are many other sponsors that I've talked to this year, and it's been great.
Nick Roberts, just a couple more here. I've got a theory, and I think maybe you and I have talked about this. We've ridden in cars down the road a little bit, but I have a theory that you have to first learn how to go fast, and this is in all forms of racing. You have to first learn how to be fast, then you have to learn how to finish the event, then you have to learn how to win the event, then win the event on purpose, and then win championships. Now, in that theory, where do you fall in those five steps?
Oh, that's a good question. I think learning to finish is number one priority. And, I think in rally, it's such a tough sport. It's so tough on the cars. And, if you can come to the event with a well-produced car, a car that it's going to be reliable, and you drive consistently, you're going to finish the event, and that's usually going to help you finish okay, because a good amount of the competition ends up getting knocked off just because of reliability issues or an off, something like that. And I think we've done a really good job of in our team of reliability. We've got a great shop, a great headquarters to make that happen. And I guess I kind of feel like I'm at the next step. I mean, I'm learning to be quick. Winning races is great, and winning them intentionally is great. But I don't know if I'm quite there. I'm still learning how to be quick. Honestly, that's kind of where I feel I'm at. It's just out there having fun, pushing, learning what the limits of my car are, and learning what my limits are, and just continuing to learn what. This works and this doesn't work. And, as we're experimenting with this and that on the car, to try to get a little bit more speed out of it. And, if we win some races along the way, that's a bonus.
Nick Roberts Global Rally Team. We've talked in the past about your interest in raising some money to help fight Alzheimer's because of your father, some family people have that disease, terrible, debilitating disease, and you've had some success in raising some money. Tell us about that.
Oh yeah, you're right about that. My father was diagnosed with frontal temporal lobe dementia when he was only 56. And it's been about 3 years now, and it's one of the worst. Dementia or any form of dementia, including Alzheimer's, is really one of the worst forms of a disease that I could ever imagine. I mean, it's just horrible to see somebody who physically can be in such good health, but mentally kind of fade away as a person, and that person that you used to know and love, and they're still there, but you can't get to them anymore, and that's hard. And it was one of the main reasons that I got into rally, was because seeing my father go through it and realizing that life is short, and you need to kind of take every day as a gift and use it to make a difference. And so part of what I'm doing with rally is I'm using it as this platform to reach people and to help people. And last year we did this hashtag Rally to End Alzheimer's campaign, where the goal was to raise $25,000 last season and for the Alzheimer's Association. And I have to tell everybody, and I tell everybody, but I have to keep saying it, thank you. I mean, it's just been incredible, the amount of support from fans that I've had that have opened up their checkbook and made donations and have come up to me at events and have shared their stories with me of what they've been through and giving me a check to send to the association. And, last season we reached the goal because of everybody. We raised over $25,000, and I couldn't have done that without everybody. And it's been great.
Is that going to be a project you're going to continue in 2015?
Possibly. I've been talking to the association again this year and kind of determining what their goals are and how we could potentially make this work again for another season. And it's I'd love to be able to get the car to some of their events and some of their the walk-ins, Alzheimer's and that sort of thing. And so we're working on putting that together.
We've talked a little bit about sponsorships and partners. Is the family business? I've seen the car. I don't see the family business on the side of the car. Is it? Is that part of your sponsorship? I know it is in reality, but is it? Has it worked its way to being on the side of the car yet?
No, it's not. Our family business. Yeah, we're in commercial real estate development, and most of my business is predominantly in the Minnesota area, and it's just it's not nationwide, I guess you'd say. So there's just no I don't see the there's no benefit for me to throw my company's name on the side of the car just because we're more locally concentrated, but it's right. There's all I don't know. It's it doesn't. I don't know where I'm going with this, but it's not on the car.
Whatever it is, it ain't on the car. Huh?
Right.
Okay. Finally, Nick Roberts Global Rally Team. What's this about gas station hot dogs? I saw that picture on your Facebook page. How does a gas station hot dog get on your Facebook page? Are your are your fans on Facebook? Are they interested in your gourmet delights on the road?
I don't know. Sometimes I just, people like to know what's going on. People like to know what's going on kind of behind the scenes. And I love taking people behind the scenes and what's going on in my daily life. And sometimes I throw stuff on Instagram of, what I'm doing that day, or if I've got a new, development project I'm working on at work, I'll throw that on there. Or, we finished a big project this summer, and I'm really proud, and I'm proud of the whole team that helped me put it together and throw some pictures up on there. And the hot dog, that's just I guess it's just kind of one of those things that we finished up the event and we hopped in the truck and we headed home that night so I could get home for my daughter's birthday on Sunday. And it was like, I don't know, it just kind of hit me that here we are eating a gas station hot dog on the way home, and why not?
I've tasted some really good gas station hot dogs. I really laughed when I saw that. And I've also tasted some that put me in bed for a couple of days. So it takes a little bravery to inhale a hot dog from a gas station or a convenience store.
It certainly does. It's like every once in a while they sound really, really good, but you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, right. And I'm the guy that I'd rather have a good hot dog sometimes than a good steak, or I really like a good hot dog. One final thing, quickly. I think we talked about this before, and I was kind of impressed. What's your favorite music? What's in your iPod?
Oh, it's definitely country music. So Garth Brooks was in town a few weeks ago, and my wife and I definitely had to go check out that while he was in town.
Garth Brooks? I didn't know. Wait a minute. That's a change from a couple of years ago. I mean, Garth Brooks? I didn't know the country music was what turned you on.
Oh, it's I grew up, spending some time out in the country, and I've always liked country music, and my music taste kind of changed here and there. But at the end of the day, good old country music is probably some of my favorite. From George Strait and Garth Brooks, so you can't go wrong with that.
Nick Roberts, country music. I would have guessed there'd be some rock and roll in there somewhere, but that's fair. You're allowed to like country music. I like some country music. The only thing I demand of music is that it not bore me and that it have some rhythm. So that includes a little bit of everything. Nick Roberts Global Rally Team, winner at the Snowdrift Rally, and second overall by 1 point last season in the American Rally Championship in Super Production. Congratulations, Nick. Good start to the season.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time, and it's a great opportunity to be on your show, so I appreciate that. And I'm kind of a shy kid, so I don't always do the best at interviews, but I definitely appreciate it.
You're a little less shy than you were the first time we talked a couple of years ago. I'm impressed. Well done, Nick.
Well, thank you.
Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 44 1904 766787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com.
Great stuff from Nick. I love the term rookie, by the way. It's such an American thing. The rookie of the year. I love that. Anyway, listen, I was talking about Chris Duplessis before. We're going to have Chris coming up now. And as I say, if you've not checked out the Easier Said Than Done film, make sure you do it after you've listened to this anyway. But great stuff from Chris. Back over to Bill.
Chris Duplessis is one of the fastest rally drivers in America. Two-wheel drive champion in 2010, 2008. And 2007, great driver, first driver to win a Ford Fiesta R2 in North America, drove that car as faster than most of the open class cars. Chris, I understand you're going to be back in the American Rally Championship next year. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, I took really 2 years off. One, to kind of start my family. I've got a beautiful little daughter now, which is absolutely awesome. And two, it's just an expensive sport. And, doing it that hard for so many years, I needed a break just because of my wallet. And so I've actually, like I said, I've got a daughter. I'm actually moving to Monticello, New York next week to start a new job at Monticello Motor Club. So it's a private country club racetrack. So a lot of good things in my kind of my personal life, and then racing. Nameless Performance, a company out of Washington. They decided they wanted to build a car a few years ago, and they actually put Will Orders in it. And I raced against him. He's very fast, an Australian fella. So we had a couple good battles, and I got to know the team owners and all those guys. And then Will had some really work conflicts. He's working for FY Racing now. He's their team manager. And so they needed a driver, and just the relationship we had built, just because racing against each other, they wanted me to drive the car. So they gave me the call, and we've kind of worked out the details. And the rest, we're going for it. So it's exciting.
Wow. You just dropped a lot of stuff on me. I don't know if this is, I'm not as close to the rally world as I used to be, but Will Orders is going to be part of FY Racing. He's not going to be running his own program this year.
Yeah, no, he's been helping them. He helped them all last year as well. I think he tried to do a few events, but he also had a little son. And I believe they're still over in Australia. But so he comes over and works for FY and manages all their stuff. And he's awesome. He actually helped me out quite a bit at the first rally, just with setup, because rear-wheel drive is really all new to me. And he's a genius. I mean, he really knows his stuff. So FY's got a huge asset having him around.
Wow. So Nameless Performance Rally Team, based in Washington, planning on running the Cascadia Cup, which includes some Northwestern events in Oregon and Washington. Tell me about those.
Yeah, so Cascadia Cup, I don't know the exact schedule yet. It's nice I don't have to worry about all that right now. They kind of take care of it all, which is awesome. they just book my tickets and tell me where to be.
Wait a minute. Will this be the first time you've actually been a hired driver that you didn't have to worry about these things, that they just said, here, come drive the car?
When I drove for Scion, they took care of everything. It was really awesome working with them. But no, these guys, really the first time we're going to try and do a full championship. That everything's sorted out. I just show up and drive. So that's really one of the most exciting things. I can really just focus on, driving the car and my job, really. So we'll see. I mean, these guys, they've built quite a machine. We'll see what happens.
And is there any plan to run any more events in the American Championship?
Yeah. So the Cascadia Cup, it runs Oregon and Washington as part of that championship. So the plan is, if we go to those and we do well, So we say win, but we'll see. I mean, if we get a first and a second, let's say, I'm sure we're still going to try and do more. But we're going to then haul out to Maine and Pennsylvania. So I'll bring the car back with me, and we'll try and run those two events. So, you know, out of an eight rally championship, then, you know, if we can go do well at four, we might have a pretty good chance at the championship. And then that still leaves two more at the end. So that leaves Ojibwe and LSPR. So, you know, we're really kind of skipping the first two, and we'll pick up from there. So we'll see as far as Rally America goes. But I'm really excited to do the Cascadia Cup. It's a lot of rally guys that I've never even raced against. I believe it goes up to Canada and does a few up there. So it's quite a rally scene out there. So it's fun to meet some new people, see some new roads.
And this is officially a two-wheel drive car. It's not going to be in the open category, or will it be in the open category?
Nope, we're gonna leave it two-wheel drive. With that said, I mean, the thing's faster than some of the open class cars I've driven. So, and I think these guys could easily make it all-wheel drive. I mean, they've got the engineering behind them. At some point, if we decided we wanted to do that, we could. But we like the idea of two-wheel drive. You know, it's unlimited motor and gearbox and suspension and all that stuff. Really, the only limiting factor is two-wheel drive, and that's, to me, if you ask me, not really a limiting factor. So. Yeah, I think it's brilliant.
You ran some a West Coast event to test, but let's get the car is listed as a Toyota GT86, which is not brought to the United States. It's sold here as a Subaru BRZ or a Scion FRS. Is it going to be rebadged, or is it going to be badged as a Toyota going forward?
Well, you know, keeping it a Toyota, we kind of keep our options open as far as the two manufacturers that do have the car here. So at some point, you know, if somebody like Subaru wanted to help us out even just a little bit, you know, with some new bumpers type thing, we'd badge it a Subaru. But right now, no one's put up any offer, so it'll stay a Toyota for now. But I think we've talked to them a little bit, and I think there is some interest. So we'll see. It might change, but for now, it's a Toyota.
Chris Duplessis, wow, two-wheel drive, the two-wheel drive driver here in the United States. You ran in C9 Rally. That's a West Coast rally, a regional event. How'd you do?
We were doing very well. It was just a little regional event, kind of in conjunction with SEMA. So we went out and talked to a bunch of people at the SEMA show, and then we were out there with the car. So we decided we'd do a rally. We had some bad luck. We ended up breaking the front knuckle where the hind joint mounts to where the ball joint goes. So we DNF'd, but we were doing, I think we were sitting second overall behind David Sterrickson in an open car. So we were very happy with where we were sitting, and we were starting to take time out of them. So that's the goal, is to start beating all-wheel drive guys that are quick. So, but it was kind of a testing event for us. So the fact that we broke stuff was perfect. We actually tested a little bit before the rally and broke an axle. And then the knuckles that we broke, we've already got a fix for that. So it's all good stuff. So it was a successful rally, if you ask me.
So let me ask you a delicate question. I've never asked you this kind of question before, Chris Duplessis, but did something break because you weren't used to running a rear wheel drive car, or maybe you've been on the sidelines for 2 years and maybe your chops aren't as good as they once were?
Oh, I'm definitely a little rusty, and these guys know that. You know, that's why we're going to do a few events actually before our championship even starts. We've got lined up to do a few rally sprints. So not only am I a little rusty, but it's also a new car. So I've got a steep learning curve as well as we do with the car. So, but this event or this instance actually wasn't really my fault. John, the main car builder, he said drive it as hard as I could the whole event. And we just hit a big washout. Now, if we were going for a championship, I personally would have gone a little slower through some of the rough stuff, but he didn't want me to, so I didn't. So I broke it, but yeah, I broke it because I was told to drive it hard.
The rear mount radiator is a departure. I mean, that's not for rally cars in general, but this thing, it really adds to the beast nature of this car.
Yeah, everyone compares it to like old Group B cars, which is awesome. But the reason why we did that is just there's the turbocharger in the engine bay is so big, and where it has to sit is very close to the radiator when it's up front. And so when Will was driving the car, they actually melted a few radiator fans. So it just made too much heat up front. So instead of trying to change the front end a little bit, we'd make it completely dramatic, and we put the radiator in the back, which worked very well. This was a pretty hot event out in the desert. And it worked. It worked how it needed to. So we'll make a few adjustments. We'll clean up how it looks on the car, because that's just a prototype. And then I think we'll run with that for the season.
Have you ever run a rear wheel drive car? Everything, my mind is bumping through all the categories. Have you in a front wheel drive car? I remember you ran an all wheel drive car at a rallycross in New Jersey and at X Games, I believe. But have you ever run a rear wheel drive car?
No, never in competition. So, I mean, I've played with them a vast amount,
just
on the street or, you know, out testing and stuff, but yeah, I've never actually competed in one. So, I mean, it really, the way this car drives, it has so much grip. It feels almost like an all-wheel drive car. You know, you do try and keep it a little more straight than what you think. You think it's a big drift fest, but you try and keep it fairly straight. So, you know, you drive in like anything else, and you drive out like a rear-wheel drive, just trying to keep it straight and, you know, and maintain the grip. So, you know, there is a big, big learning curve, but it's really not as steep as you think, or as tough as you think, to wrap your head around going from two-wheel drive to rear-wheel. It all kind of calculates.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Chris DuPlessis, two-wheel drive national champion in 2010, 2008, 2007. And it's good to, it'll be good to have you back. It'll really be good to have you back. Will Orders has shown the ability. He bought a 20-plus year old car here to the United States from Australia, and proved that the two-wheel drive rear-wheel car can be more than competitive. He almost won the championship, or did he win the championship that year? He certainly proved that the car, a rear-wheel drive car, could be competitive in a modern rally.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I actually won it in 2012 as well, but he the rallies he competed in, they didn't do enough to win it, but they were fast at the ones they were at. And I think that the biggest advantage with rear-wheel drive is really the drivetrain. You can put a lot more power through rear wheels because they don't have to turn than you can on a front-wheel drive car. Front-wheel drive, you're really limited at about 300 horsepower, which is maybe even still too much, where rear-wheel drive, you're just getting started at 300 horsepower, so that's the big advantage. Now, you are going to have, you know, still the same traction issues. You know, they only have rally tires so wide, but with the suspension set right and you get the sag correct and all that, you can make a lot of power to the ground very easily.
Through the years, Chris DuPlessis, how much engineering have you had to learn and translate into rally cars? That's kind of, I didn't plan on, that wasn't in my list here, but I'm hearing you talk a little bit about rally car engineering. How much have you had to learn?
You know, I kind of taught a lot of, you know, just what I know to myself. My first car, my Volkswagen, I took care of all on my own, so I kind of learned the basics. And then, yeah, just driving stuff and listening to people that are more knowledgeable than me and asking questions. So it definitely helps. And I still have way, way more to learn. I'm not real smart, but I can hold my own, I think.
How much have you learned from Will? It looks like, I've only talked to him a couple of times, it looks like he has really gone a layer or two into this thing of rally car engineering, especially on a rear-wheel drive car.
Yeah, no, Will's definitely got his stuff sorted out. And so he was out there helping David Sterks at Z9. And so he sat in and you know, told me to change a few things in my driving style, and then a few suspension changes. And one of the biggest things that I didn't even realize, just the way the car squats now. So the rear end, you know, is obviously digging. And when the car squats, you essentially change your camber angles. And so you actually want the car, when it's sitting on the ground, you want it to have positive camber. So then when it squats, it goes back to essentially zero camber. So if you actually see pictures of the car sitting stationary, it looks like our alignment angles are all backwards. You know, you look at like road race cars and they're sitting there with camber built in, positive and negative camber, and we've got positive. But it's all for that traction. It's all for how the car squats and gets out of the corner. I mean, that's something that was totally new to me. I mean, I used to look at pictures of his car and say, man, how's he drive that thing? You know, the outside edge of the tires touching more than anything else, but it's all for when you're on the gas. So that was very interesting to feel and you know, learn about.
Now, this is a bit of my own ignorance. If you put some of that weight to the front to make the car more balanced, would that help in steering and driving and getting through a corner, or do you want it all in the back to help with the traction?
You want it balanced when you want it to be balanced, but when you're trying to put weight on the ground or power on the ground, you want to put the weight in the back. When you're trying to slow down or go into a corner, you actually want to put the weight in the front. So you want it to be able to move around a bit. And so you set the suspension a little softer than what you think you should. You have dampening that can still handle the bumps. So back in the day, you know, the thought was just make the suspension really stiff, really hard. You know, the old Quattros, lock all the diffs in. And just if you watch the videos, they were very difficult to drive. Or now you watch a modern WRC car and the thing moves around like it's a trophy truck. But it's all for that weight movement and wherever you can put the weight when you want it. That's the key.
I saw on their website some of the images that they had. They increased the wheel travel on the rear end and the front. That's part of the same thing to make the car move and have the weight distribute through the course of a turn or going on the straight or under braking.
Yeah, and then with that, you know, having all that wheel movement, you want to have the suspension angles stay the same or go where you want them to. You don't want to have a lot of bump steer or, you know, a lot of toe in or toe out type thing when it travels through the range. So that's where the real engineering comes in, and that's what gets me. It's crazy that John built a whole rear subframe for the thing, and I showed up a week before the rally, and he said, yeah, go ahead and bolt it in, and it was absolutely perfect. Like it fell in the car basically, and he hadn't even test fitted or anything. He just made it on the computer, welded it up, and it was spot on. So that is just genius to me. But yeah, I mean the whole thing is just getting that suspension dialed in, and then you know you can easily put the weight down and carry the speed through the corner. So when someone builds you a good car, it makes my job real easy.
And what is John? John is the guy at Nameless Performance. That's his program.
Yeah. So it's Jason and John, and John's more of the hands-on, you know, weld it and build it type thing, where Jason's more the technical side of things, the business side of things. So they make a good team. It's funny. They fight like an old married couple, but they get so much stuff done. And they actually just moved into a brand new shop. They built some of the best exhaust in the industry for really Subarus. They've built some other stuff, like actually some Kia Optima stuff. Some turbo kits, things like that. But yeah, really, really cool stuff. They actually build the exhaust systems for Cosworth for the BRZ FRS. So Cosworth, you know, everyone knows Cosworth. They approached them because they couldn't build an exhaust that was better. So Cosworth's engineering team couldn't beat these two guys from Washington, so they just joined them.
Wow. Chris DePlessy, 2012, 2010, 2008, 2007, two-wheel drive champion, right? Do I have that right now?
Yeah, I think so. Four of them in there somewhere.
Okay. So you're back in the car, partner. What's that mean for you?
Yeah,
you're going to have to do a little knocking off some of that rust, get yourself in physical shape to do a 2 or 3 day rally?
Yeah, I got a whole lot of work as well as that, and then just everything. I mean, I don't even know where some of the rallies are located anymore. They've changed locations since I've raced, all that good stuff. So it'll kind of be like stepping back into it, but it's like riding a bike. You never forget it.
That's cool. What kind of work are you going to do for physical training? It's a bad time now with the holidays, but what are you going to be doing? What kind of aerobic conditioning, running, biking? What are you going to be doing?
I actually, with my daughter, hiking is one of the best things that we enjoy doing. So gets me out moving around and gets her seeing the world. So that's one of our top things that we do together, and it's good for me. So We'll hopefully be getting in shape more, doing the normal exercise that I used to do for my eyes to make everything quick in the car.
Are you going to be, I don't know what kind of car you drive now, but are you going to get a rear wheel drive car to do a little testing for yourself, especially in the winter months in New England?
Yeah, that's actually kind of something I've been thinking about. I mean, I got really quick in my Volkswagen because my street car was essentially the same thing. So I will hopefully be getting some sort of rear wheel drive. Right now I drive a GLI, so it's a front wheel drive, nothing too fancy for sliding around on gravel.
Wow.
Chris, so we'll see. Maybe I'll trade that in for an FRS or something.
All right. You don't have to get a brand new car off the showroom. You can go get any rear wheel drive car. You're going to end up with one of these nameless performance GT86s for yourself to put in the driveway, aren't you?
Well, I mean, if I could be in the same car, they could build me some parts. I think it'd be brilliant. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, I am working on a racetrack now too. So having something fun to take around the track would be up there on the list. So
are you going to have them put in a dirt stage somewhere back in the back so that you can have some testing when you get ready?
Yeah, well, we're actually the racetrack Monticello is sponsored by Jaguar and Land Rover, and so for one, the Jaguar F-Type's a perfect training car. It's a big, high horsepower rear wheel drive. But then Land Rover, they actually have some trails across the street that are mud and rots and all that stuff. But getting out there is actually quite a few like dirt trails, dirt roads. So if I do end up bringing the car back for SCPR in Maine, then I will probably go out there and do some testing and some driving. Yeah. As well as if I get a car to play with, I've got some roads, so for sure.
As long as you don't take that F-Type out on those dirt roads, they'll look at you like, what planet is this guy from?
Oh, that would be brilliant. And they're actually, Jaguar's building an all-wheel drive one now.
Wow.
I think that'd be a perfectly fun car to beat on the gravel. It's only, I think, $100,000, so no big deal.
All right, so give me some, before I let you get out of here, I know you got, sounds like you got your family there with you. Before you get out of here, tell me some secret stuff about the car. What kind of an engine and how much horsepower?
So it's still the FN20. It's the new Subaru chain-driven. I don't know all about them, really. That's too technical stuff for me, but something about the way the block goes together and the heads, they're way stronger, I guess. So that's very cool, and not many of them have been turbocharged. I think a lot of people, when they make a turbocharged BRZ or FRS, they just put like an STI motor in it. So to do that, and they've got some fancy Bog Warner turbo and some other bits. Probably the coolest setup with the car is it's got a Hollinger gearbox. So it's an Australian company, and that the gearbox actually comes out of a V8 supercar. So it's used to 800 horsepower or something, but It's the smoothest gearbox I've ever driven. It's brilliant.
Sequential, I would imagine, right?
Yep. So it's a sequential 6-speed. And then John Reed, he's one of the top tuners in the world, I'd say. But he's working with us. So the car has all kinds of fancy stuff with, like the flat shift and it's going to have rev match downshift and all kinds of neat little gadgets that I've never played with. I've always just had pretty raw cars where it's going to be cool to have technology kind of working with me.
When's the next test session?
Good question. I think it's going to be a rally sprint out in Washington or Oregon or somewhere. Again, they call me up and say, here's your plane ticket, let's go. So we'll see. Wow.
Chris, good for you, partner. Nobody deserves this more than you do. Four championships, the two-wheel drive master here in the United States. You deserve this, my man. Congratulations and welcome back into the American Rally Championship pool. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. It's going to be good to talk to you again and have something to chat about.
Exactly. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Total Rally is back every other Wednesday in association with Team Coordinate. Still your only place to hear rumours and news from the world of rally. The World Rally Championship, European Championship and all major competitions from around the globe. We bring you the big names from the world of rallying. Find us in our new home of Fab Radio International, wherever you are. If you like rally, get involved. Email at totalrallystudio.com, Twitter at Total Rally, or Facebook.com/Total Rally. Total Rally, exclusive to Fab Radio International.
It's great to hear from the American Rally Championship, and Bill has obviously been a friend of the show for ages, but we're hoping to get some of our old friends back. So we made reference to him last week, me and Jimbo. We were talking about Cody Crocker, mate. We're hoping to get Cody back. What the idea is we want to try and get some contributors from all over the world. So if you're involved with rallying and you do bits and pieces the way Bill does and you're part of the world, get in touch. Just drop us a message via Twitter at Total Rally, of course. Listen, we will be back live next week, and you never know, we may even have Clarkie back. We may even have Jimbo as well, but who knows? But listen, it's been great talking to you, albeit remotely. It feels very weird saying that. It's been great talking to you because at the moment there is nobody here and there's nobody listening. But hopefully you're listening now anyway. Enjoy the podcast, enjoy the program, and we'll see you live next week.